Johnny Mack with your daily comedy news. The QAnon shaman was sentenced to 41 months for his role in the January 6th attack on the Capitol. Stephen Colbert said that's nearly 3.5 years, so with good behavior, he could be out in time to storm the Capitol in 2024. I love it, Kimmel. He apologized for storming the Capitol and said he often looks in the mirror and tells himself, "You really messed up royally." Maybe if he'd taken a look in the mirror sooner, he would have noticed he had a dead raccoon on his head. Colbert, not only did the shaman commit the crime of looking like an idiot, he is one, Fallon. Right now, he's trying to use an antler to lift the keys off a guard's belt. That's fantastic, Seth. Apparently, it's hard to find a jury of his peers the same day there's a Renaissance fair. That's all you get for late night jokes. I've got to ration these out. Thanksgiving is coming, man. I got to get through like 2 weeks with no fresh late night jokes. This next story is from Fox News, your home for comedy news. I'm sharing the source because I always do that, but also keep in mind this might be loaded because it is Fox News's coverage of a Chris Cuomo interview on CNN, and Fox and CNN, they don't get along so much. They're like me and Adam Sandler comedy, you know? So it could be a little loaded here. Wait, my dog just walked in. What do you want? Do you want to go out? But I'm recording a podcast. What are you doing? He left. During an interview on Wednesday, Chris Cuomo kicked off a discussion with Bill Maher by claiming Dave Chappelle has a long history of going after trans people, adding that homophobia is not much of a push against him as what he says against trans people. Bill Maher declared himself Team Dave and pushed back. Bill said, "Well, you say going after. You use terms like homophobia. I was speaking recently about phobia. There's a word that has traveled quite a bit from its original meaning. A lot of mission creep on that word. Phobia means an irrational fear. He's not afraid of homosexuals, or it's not transphobic. The trans stuff is very new. I don't think he or myself or any other right-thinking person thinks there aren't such things in the world as people who are trans, who are born in a body that doesn't align with what their brain is telling them. That's okay, but now we're talking about children." Bill Maher then shared an anecdote about a female friend who described herself as a tomboy growing up and how she's convinced if she were growing up today, they would have made me into a boy here in California. So don't put this into the category of this is settled science. Anything that deviates from the one true opinion on this means you're some horrible bigot or transphobic. Time out. Just reminding everybody, Daily Comedy News, the topic here is Dave Chappelle, Bill Maher said. And I don't think Dave Chappelle is transphobic. It's like, can we take a breath? Maybe we're going too far with the children part of this. You know, kids should not be really making decisions about their gender. I mean, Mario Lopez was almost canceled for suggesting maybe three-year-olds shouldn't decide their gender. This is not crazy stuff that makes you a bigot. Chris Cuomo responded, but his choice to make jokes about them. Now, this is the argument that I don't think he handled well. I will say that you're punching down at this group. This is a discreet minority. They've got a lot of problems being targeted and hurt. You're a powerful voice, and you're making fun of them and powers the people who want to hurt them, whether you know that or not. Now that we've told you that, stop doing it. Is that a bad suggestion? Mark conceded Chappelle is a little obsessed with this one issue, and he doesn't know what's in his head, but surmised that, "I think as a black man in America, he sees nobody in America, except for the Indians, have had it anywhere near like the black folks have had it in America, so I can see that it would get under his skin." You may also see Bill Maher in the headlines. The New York Post wrote, "New York Post Bill Maher rails against critical race theory, arguing it's just virtual signaling." You can look that one up on your own. That has nothing to do with comedy or Dave Chappelle, so I will move on. Now, Andy Kindler chimed in. He tweeted, "Bill Maher will be remembered for nothing positive. He's a terminally awful stand-up. He foisted Sam Harris on the world, Ann Coulter, Andrew Sullivan, the absolute worst. Thinks he's edgy to bash the woke, and scientists agree he's a thoroughly unpleasant, misogynist bully." Wow. Switching topics completely, right before I came to record, I noticed that the It's Always Sunny pod has dropped 3 episodes. I listened to about a minute just so I could get a vibe to tell you all about it. Sounds like the 3 guys from It's Always Sunny hanging out. Pretty low production, but it sounded fun. I can't wait to listen. From Deadline, Netflix has given a 10-episode series order to a show called Blockbuster. It is about Blockbuster, a single-camera workplace comedy starring Randall Park, he's very good in things, which is set in the last remaining Blockbuster video store. In real life, the last remaining Blockbuster is in Alaska. I miss Blockbuster. It was fun going in with the girlfriend-turned-wife and walking around and be like, "What should we get? Hey, this movie The Fast and the Furious looks good. Let me rent this. Oh my god, this is the greatest movie I've ever seen." Remember that? That was great. That's what happened to me. That's why I love those films. This was originally going to be an NBC sitcom, now on Netflix. Blockbuster will provide an authentic experience in its trip down memory lane as the producers have acquired the Blockbuster rights and will use the store's logo and uniforms. Blockbuster is an ensemble comedy that takes place in the last Blockbuster video in America that explores what it takes and more specifically who it takes for a small business to succeed against all odds. A suit said, "We're so happy to be strolling the aisles of a blockbuster once again with Vanessa, David, and Jackie leading the way. We're also thrilled to be continuing our partnership with Netflix, where we've never had to worry about late fees." Hilarious, suit man. Meanwhile, on Hulu, Leatherkenny is coming back for season, what is it, 10? If you're in Canada, it'll be on Crave TV December 25th. Americans, we have to wait. Hulu, December 26th. If you're watching Leatherkenny on Christmas, you probably have your priorities mixed up. Do something else. You could wait till the 26th. If you're in the UK, Benny Hill is back on TV after 20 years. Wow, it hasn't aired in 20 years. There's a new channel, That's TV Gold. If you are younger and don't know who this is, Benny Hill was a primetime star for 4 decades, first on the BBC, then on the ITV here in the States. It would show up on Channel 9 in New York, and anybody my age watched it 5 nights a week. It was slapstick humor and babes and stuff that hasn't aged well. It was funny. Benny Hill is often cited as a victim of political correctness, as his shows were seen as being sexist and out of time. The finale attracted 9.58 million viewers. TV has changed. If you got 9.5 million viewers now, Benny Hill would be on for 20 years. The rights to his TV shows, controlled by his estates and TAMS TV, have not been licensed to any UK broadcaster for nearly 20 years here in the States. I can't tell you the last time I saw that on a television. Staying on that side of the pond, which is not something I think anybody actually says, the Leicester Comedy Festival has announced its 2022 program with an extra M-E on the end of the word program, with more than 800 performances of 560 plus shows in 64 venues. This from Chortle. Some of the names announced for the February event include Catherine Ryan, Stuart Lee, Ed Gamble, Ross Noble, Henning Wen, Sean Walsh, and Pam Ayers. The laugh button tells us the King of Rants is hitting the road again. Who's the King of Rants, audience? Yeah, I'll tell you who it is, but no one thinks of him as the King of Rants. You're like, who's the King of Rants? Lewis Black is the King of Rants, apparently. Yeah, now you're like, oh, yeah. But no, King of Rants, no, we're not doing that. Lewis Black, the 2022 tour is called Off the Rails. 5 months, kicks off in Denver and finishes in May in Greensburg, Pennsylvania, wherever that is. The Laugh Button has released a new album, John Fish's Hinged, out today. John Fish Hinged was recorded live at Gotham Comedy Club, great club, in the summer of 21 and shows a different side of the veteran comedian. John Fish has been making people laugh in some of the best comedy crowds in the city for decades now, but the onset of the pandemic, blah, 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 new album. Today's Daily Comedy News is brought to you by Palace Intrigue. I'm the writer on that. It is a daily podcast about the royal family and basically Meghan Markle and Harry. I think personally, just an opinion, they're out to drive the queen nuts. Meghan went on Ellen now. I thought you don't want publicity. I thought you moved to the States to be left alone. If you want to be left alone, don't go on Ellen. Palace Intrigue, wherever you get your podcasts. It's time to head on over to Gossip Corner. Pete Davidson celebrated his birthday with Kim Kardashian, and a few other friends. People Magazine says rapper Flavor Flav shared photos from his adopted son Pete Davidson's 28th birthday. Pete is only 28? He's a 41-year-old looking 28. I know he's young, but he's a 41-year-old looking 28. His 28th birthday celebration, I almost said 41, featuring Kardashian West and her mom, Kris Jenner. In the first photo, Pete Davidson, Kardashian West, and Jenner all sported matching black and brown plaid pajamas as they posed for the camera. The second image featured just Flavor Flav and Pete Davidson, with the comedian wearing the rapper's famed clock chain. A source says that Kardashian West, 41, and looking 28, threw the birthday bash for Pete Davidson at Jenner's Palm Springs homes on Tuesday. An insider says, even when they're on different coasts, Kim and Pete stay in touch. They're getting to know each other better and getting along great. Kim loves his spark. He's very funny, entertaining, and he makes Kim happy. They're still dating and enjoying it. Wait, they're still dating? So we're admitting that they're dating now? I thought they were just on a roller coaster holding hands, but they're just friends. They're still dating and enjoying it. He showers Kim with compliments, and she loves it. I still kind of hope they break up and he dates Anna Marie Tandler. Just I've got a podcast. I need the content. From the Statesman, they ask the question, can live comedy succeed in the metaverse? I'll answer, I guess. An Austin startup says, yes, it can. In Failed to Render's Metaverse Comedy Club, comedians are shown as an avatar that looks like them and moves as they do. Psst, hey. The audience members are also able to interact as avatars of themselves. Failed to Render's goal is to become the go-to place for live comedy within a virtual environment known as the metaverse. The term metaverse has been making headlines in recent weeks because of Facebook, blah, blah, blah. But what exactly does metaverse mean? While there's no universally accepted definition yet, many experts consider it to be a 3D virtual world inhabited by avatars of real people who are interacting in real time. Failed to Render makes money by using a Patreon subscription model where people can sign up for memberships on one of three levels, each with different perks. For example, members can get access to the company's channel on Discord or access to meet some of the comedians after some of the shows in a virtual green room. The Discord channel is $3. The access to the live shows, $10. 20 months VIP access. My dog, stop making noise. I'm doing a podcast. What is he doing? Told you yesterday a little bit about the comedy awards. Chortle says the low profile of this year's new comedy award does a disservice to the six finalists whittled down from around 1,000 entries. It's a strong lineup, and the show would not look out of place at 10 p.m. on BBC Two, but instead 11:25 p.m. Effortlessly confident opener Lily Phillips set a good bar, slotting neatly into the cadre of feminist comics tackling the patriarchy with pointed sarcasm, especially when it comes to the unacceptable behavior of creepy guys. She's come a long way since her days as a Disney princess impersonator, and that's even before she cheerily heads below the belt. It's a robust set with a good showing of solid punchlines and a wry attitude. Celia AB is a half-Algerian Parisian transplanted to Birmingham, which may go some way to explaining why she brings a sharp outsider's eye to her delightfully offbeat comedy. She's got a knowing side, too, crystallizing nuanced observations on the likes of a box ticking or trying to revive dead relationships into quirky punchlines, which are packed in her set without ever feeling rushed. Molly McGuinness had a slightly less consistent set with comments on the cheap ham sandwich, but she's strong on other topics, especially sexual ones. Wow, I didn't expect to go from ham to that. After confessing that being single in lockdown made her a weirdo, getting turned on in all the wrong places, one particular act out shows an admirable commitment to the bit, typical of her strong delivery. Genial William Thompson has some savvy comments on Northern Ireland's unique character and the average Briton's ignorance of it. He also has a barely noticeable cerebral palsy, which gives him a couple of solid anecdotes from the slightly self-depreciatory to the mildly absurd that hit home. Finally, Welsh woman Anna Thomas exudes a daftness from the moment she trills a cheery hello. I'm tripping over the English of the English with a laugh in her voice. She's an odd fish, that's for sure, but owns it. She chuckles unaffectedly and infectiously at her foolishness. Boy, we are separated by a common language. Whether it be talking about tattoos, bras, or the bigger bust, or strumming her ukulele as she undermines pop lyrics. Some of her punchlines are pretty corny, but she won. Congratulations! £1,000 and a commission for a 30-minute audio pilot. Chortle says it won't be the last we hear of her, nor of the other finalists who joined her on stage. That is your comedy news for today. Normal episodes this weekend. Follow the show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Good Pods. Glenn and I finished 10th out of 13 in trivia. I can't even explain why we're so bad at it. We sit there and we're like, hey, we did good there. We did good there. And then we finish in 10th. I don't know. We need some help. See you tomorrow.